Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you and Happy New Year, Mr. Swan.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you? And Happy New Year to you too and your listeners.
Very well, thank you. And is your year going well so far?
It's a good start to the year. We are busy, so it's a good start to the year.
Lovely. Great to hear that, man. You know, we're talking about the freedom of expression and social media. I think we did touch on this sometime last year. And I was saying to the listeners, earlier that I see people in hot water more and more, especially, over the last month or two because of things that they say on social media. So we thought, no, it's actually important that we actually come back and talk to this subject, perhaps from a different angle. The right to freedom of expression applies to everyone equally, and we know that, including social media content creators, even those who use social media for their personal life, their rights, like everyone else's, are also limited, unfortunately, and they do not have the freedom to say whatever they wish to say and to whoever they wish to say that. And this means that when people post something on social media, they also have a responsibility to ensure that they do not infringe on the rights of other people. Now, the last time you were here, we talked about defamation, and today we want to look at social media and what can and cannot be said about another person. But let's recap on what we spoke about the last time. Please do remind us what defamation entails.
Thank you very much, Zama. We said the last time that defamation is the wrongful and intentional publication of defamatory statements or conduct of another person. Now, defamation law in itself is intended to protect the reputation and the character of another person from harm through defamatory statements that are designed to impugn an individual's rights. As individuals, Zama, we have a responsibility to be respectful and considerate towards one another. And we must also uphold the value of truth and the dignity of other people. Now, in this case, defamation refers to the act of making false statements, and the key word there being false statements about a person that harms their reputation. And we said that there are two forms of defamation. There is libel. Libel is the written form of defamatory statements. And an example of libel could be found in social media posts, in false newspaper articles, as well as misleading advertisements that may impugn or harm a person's reputation. And then there's slander. Slander pertains to the spoken or oral defamatory statements. And we said that defamation can have severe consequences for both the victim and the person that is responsible. Whether it is intentional, the words are intentionally said, or they were not intended as a defamatory statement. We gave an example of, for instance, of the case of the well-known personality Basetsana Khumalo versus the writer Jackie Pamotz, and what has unfolded in that particular case. It takes us now back to the issue of freedom of expression, which is what we are discussing today. Section 16 of the Constitution guarantees freedom of expression as a fundamental right. However, freedom of expression is not a fundamental, it's not an absolute right. My apologies. It is not an absolute right. It can be limited in terms of the general law of limitation, which is the limitation clause contained in Section 36 of the Constitution. Now, Once a statement becomes defamatory, it falls outside the ambit of the protection of freedom of speech, because it infringes upon the rights and the well-being of another person.
Yeah.
So what basically happens in this case is your right to freedom of expression cannot trump someone else's right to their dignity as well as reputation. We must be, Zamavet, that the right to human dignity is a non-derogable right. In other words, it is an absolute right.
Yes.
So the right to dignity is inherent in a person, just like the right to life. Mm-hmm. It cannot be limited, whereas the right to freedom of speech can be limited.
Mm. Okay.
It is essential, therefore, to strike a balance between expressing one's opinions and sharing information responsibly, and also refraining from harming somebody else's dignity and reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the intersection now between the freedom of speech and social media.
Mm-hmm.
and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
Before social media, publication would be mostly done through printed newspapers and magazines and so on and so forth. Nowadays, what happens is everybody is a publisher in their own right. Remember, one of the elements for a defamatory statement that we find in a defamatory statement is that it must have been published.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
In this case, where there is social media, each one becomes a publisher in their own right. In other words, you publish a post on WhatsApp, on Facebook, Twitter, or Snapchat, that becomes a publication on its own, and you have published a particular statement. And we must also take into consideration the fact that whatever it is that you post, you are liable for.
Yeah.
And not only that, any person who then shares or reposts the content on social media is equally as liable as the person who first shared that particular post.
Mm, mm.
Right.
Does this include those who like the post?
Including those who like the post.
My goodness.
Right. Now, when it comes to social media, a question could be, if I post my experience of something that, for example, a wrong that was done to me, and name the name of the person that did the wrong to me, the question is, can I be liable for defamation? In order to answer that particular question, I need to go to the grounds of justification. In other words, what are the defenses of defamation? The first defense of defamation is what I have shared was the truth, and it is in the public interest. Now, here, one can argue that a statement is substantially true, and that the public has a legitimate interest in that particular statement. However, you must remember that the fact that you believe that the public is interested in a particular statement does not mean that the public is interested in it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And therefore, you could still be liable for a defamation, and you would have defamed the person.
Mm.
So those two aspects, is it true, and is it in the public interest? Is it in the public interest for me to say anything about Zama, who is a personal friend of mine, who is unknown to the world, but I start posting things on Twitter about Zama?
Mm-hmm.
There's an inquiry there that needs to be done. Is what I am sharing about Zama of public interest? Right. And then the second defense is that what I've said is fair comment.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it is fair comment, basically, one can argue that each and everybody in South Africa has the right to honestly express themselves and freely express themselves, and their comments, the comments that they make must be a fair comment. But the question then comes back, is it true and is it in the public interest?
Mm.
Then we talk about privileges, for instance, where there's attorney and client privilege, information that you share between yourself and your attorney is protected. And then there's one interesting one, Zama, which is a judicial or quasi-judicial proceeding.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
I said these things at a judicial or quasi-judicial proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
Those statements enjoy the protection enjoy protection because they are said in judicial statements. For instance, one thing that comes to my mind is the case of that is ongoing now of the judge president of the Eastern Cape,
yes,
which
yes.
is Selby Mbenenge and Andiswa Mengo.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There is cringe-worthy statements that are being shared on social media about what happened in a private space or
yeah.
in the work between the two of them. And that is a judicial inquiry. Such statements are actually protected. And therefore, one cannot say that they are defamed because that those statements enjoy the protection of, in other words, they cannot be defamatory statements.
Mm, 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 mm.
Is media privilege, where one says that it's a publication, I publish this, it is truthful, and there's also a level of protection, a certain level of protection for untrue statements that are published by the media.
Mm.
Because one would then have, the other party would then have a right of reply, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you have not given, where you are given a right of reply and you have not responded, and those allegations are published in the media, they are protected, and one cannot be defamed under those particular circumstances.
Mm.
Now, and then obviously there is political privilege, where statements are said during political, squabbles or whatever mm. it is. Happens.
Yeah.
Those are protected, and therefore one cannot say that they have been defamed mm. when statements are politically privileged.
Yeah.
So the question also then comes, if I share statements
mm.
about something that has happened to me and I post it on media, and it can be damaging to this other person, and expose private messages, and they cast negative light on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? You could also be liable for defamation, because are those statements true? That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they are true, remember, the other person has to have a right of reply. They've got their side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot willy-nilly just publish statements because you feel like you've been wronged, because in that case, you're also impugning the dignity of somebody else.
Mm, mm, mm.
What do the courts look at generally when they are making an assessment? They look at whether the statements that are containing the veracity of the statements. If it's statements that contain allegations of crime, then they are regarded as serious statements and they've got greater harm. So the courts would generally be a lot more firmer on statements that consist of allegations of crime. Mm-hmm. And then statements, obviously, that are published in greater groups, and for instance, if it's social media, if if it's a WhatsApp group,
small.
But if it's X, for instance, and it's Facebook, for instance, that statement has got a greater reach.
Yes,
and
yes.
Obviously, what the courts would do is they would look at this and say this has a greater impact on the person whose character has been defamed. What do I do when I've been defamed and I want to defend myself? I can advance an argument of my good character, right? I'm a pastor in the church, for instance. I lead a church of 1,000 congregants and so on and so forth. And this type of statement is bound to affect my standing in the church. And not only that, remember, there are other church leaders as well who look up to me. What do I seek, Zama?
Yeah.
When I go to court with an allegation of defamation, so what I seek is usually an apology. If it's an apology, it must be in the same media that you sent it in. It must be, if it's a newspaper article, it must be the same size. You cannot, for instance, put my face on the first page and say, and accuse me of a crime, and then in your apology you put a little small snippet to say apologize. It must be the same size. The face of the newspaper must also contain your apology. So that's basically what we look at.
Now, tell me, there's a question here that is coming on the line, Cindy. So somebody's asking, if someone sends another person a message privately, are you still there?
I am here, Zama.
Oh, okay. The message, where is this message now? I found it. If someone sends another person a message privately for their benefit, for example, letting them know that their new employee has a reputation of dishonesty, or perhaps a new partner has a history of infidelity, but the message is sent privately completely, then the other person, the recipient of the message, publicizes it. Who is then liable in this case? That's the question.
Right. We go back to an analysis, Zama. We go back to an analysis. One, is it true? And two, is it in the public interest? One, the person who has published this particular statement would be the person who then publishes it to the general public. So if you publish it to the general public, then what happens is you are then liable. You are as liable as the person that wrote it in the first place. If an analysis is made and we find that statement was either not true or it was not in the public interest, so you will definitely both be liable for that particular statement, a defamatory statement. Because the publication involves the only statements that would be protected, Zama, would be statements that are privileged with the attorney and client privilege, and statements that are shared between a couple, married people.
Is this notwithstanding that this person would really be saying this, with good intention, expressing that, listen, the person that you are getting into a marriage with actually has a history of infidelity, and here are the facts, and in fact those are correct, then surely the one who was writing privately should not and cannot be held accountable, not so?
The question then is, did this person have the intention? Because remember, intention is part of the elements of the crime. Was there an intention to impugn or defame the name of the other person? And regardless of that, even if this person is sharing, do they have, for instance, the evidence that these statements that they are sharing are true? It's easy to say somebody is dishonest. It's easy to say somebody, for instance, somebody is has a propensity to be to be in infidelity, so to speak. The question then is, was there truth to those statements? And then when you then publish them to the public, is there a public interest? So the intention, if the intention is lacking, then that person cannot be liable for defaming the person that has been defamed. But where there is the intention, and there's an analysis, for instance, the court would use the reasonable man's test to analyze whether a reasonable person would have seen or foreseen that their statement could actually be defamatory and shared it nonetheless.
Okay. But difficult one, not easy at all. But I think sufficient caution for those who are using social media. Do be careful on what you put out there on social media, what you say, especially if you're one of those very active people. What you say and comment about other people, what you like, and also what you repost, you could be held liable, according to our expert here on the line. And in fact, not only according to him, that's the law, eh? Cindy, so I must thank you so much for coming through, sir.
Thank you so much, Zama, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.